The story of the sacrifice of Isaac that we read earlier in Genesis 22 is possibly the best known event in Abraham's life. To many, at the first time of reading, it is a truly shocking and even horrifying story. God commands Abraham to sacrifice his only son and heir, seemingly for no reason other than he desires it on a whim, and Abraham obeys. Now, to a non-believer, this story shows God as callous and Abraham as weak and blindly obedient, and he is far from being a loving father. So how then should we as believers understand this chapter? Now, let's be clear. Nothing in the Bible, before or after this passage, suggests that God requires, let alone enjoys, child sacrifice. Now, a cynic might recall the passages from the book of Joshua, wherein God commanded the Israelites to destroy the Canaanites to the last man, woman, and child. But the truth in this case is that the Canaanites regularly practiced the ritual sacrifice of infants and had repeatedly refused to turn back from their sinful ways. So we see that God, in fact, hates the death of children as he hates all sin. Moreover, Isaac was not any ordinary child. Earlier in the book of Genesis, God had promised Abraham that his descendants would be as innumerable as the stars, and Isaac was the promised son through whom that would be achieved. God not only abhors the death of children, but this child in particular was of huge significance to God's plan. Our God is not a cruel God, he is not a liar, and he is not fickle. So why did he demand the death of Isaac? The truth is he didn't. Though God commanded Abraham to offer his son up as a sacrifice, he had no intention of letting Isaac die. He had planned all along, as we see at the climax of this story in verses 12 and 13, to provide a ram to be sacrificed in Isaac's place. So this story is not about the cruelty of God, but rather it is about his love. And it is about the faithfulness of Abraham. So far in his life, Abraham had been far from the perfect model of faithful obedience to God. In Egypt, he failed to put his trust in God, and he lied, saying that Sarah, his wife, was actually only his sister. This put her in danger, purely to protect himself. Again, when God promised Abraham a son, Abraham took matters into his own hands, and he lay with Sarah's slave, Hagar, not believing that his wife in her old age could conceive. But God remained faithful to Abraham, and Sarah conceived and gave birth to Isaac, the promised son. Abraham had walked with God for most of his adult life, but frequently he displayed a lack of understanding of God's control. It is all the more surprising, then, that Abraham shows so little hesitation upon receiving God's command to sacrifice Isaac. This may look like weakness or cowardice to many, or simply that Abraham was an unloving father. But none of this is true. It takes great strength and great courage to follow through with something that you do not understand fully. And in fact, Abraham is the model of Christian fatherhood. There is no way that Abraham could have known what was going to happen on that hilltop. When Isaac asked his father where the lamb for the burnt offering was, Abraham responds by saying that God himself will provide the lamb. And while some have taken this to mean that Abraham knew what would happen, I think the reality is far more human. Abraham's fear and grief must have been palpable as he travelled with his son and the two servants, none of whom knew the purpose of this journey. This man, for decades, had been childless, and in a culture where sons were of particular significance, the thought of losing the young Isaac, his only son, must have been horrifying. And yet Abraham did not even question God on this matter. For decades, Abraham had failed to understand the power of God, despite witnessing it firsthand. But at long last, Abraham put his trust in the Lord. At the point when Abraham faced his greatest test, he didn't try to take control of the situation. He simply submitted to God's will and trusted that he would protect Isaac. Now, it might seem strange on Father's Day to focus on a man who was prepared to kill his own son. But within this story is the perfect model of trust and love between a father and his child. Abraham's love for his child is tested in this story, but he knows that the greatest way he can love Isaac is by trusting God utterly. Our instinct as human beings is to try and protect the ones we love, however we can. And there are few bonds of love stronger than the love of a parent for their child. For a parent to step back and trust someone else for the safety and prosperity of their children is no easy task. But like Abraham, we must all be willing to give the things we love most over to God. We must trust him regardless of how impossible the situation seems. Now, throughout this whole passage, Isaac hardly says a word. There is no complaint, no protest, and no resistance on his part. Even once he is bound and laid on the altar, ready to be sacrificed, Isaac doesn't question his father. He would have been quite young at this point, probably no older than 12 or 13. So he must have been truly terrified and confused. But regardless, he trusted his father. Now I'm reminded of a story I was told by a man I met whilst I was at university. This man had two daughters who were aged about 3 and 5 at the time. And they would always ask their daddy to play with them when he came home from work. On one particular day, they asked him to play Lions, which was a game of their own devising, which involved their father crawling around on all fours, roaring and pretending to be a lion as the girls ran away from him. Now, every time he roared, they would giggle and scream and run away, and then they would shout, "Louder, louder, Daddy!" And he would chase them, and he would roar louder and louder. Now, eventually, he decided to roar as loud as he possibly could to truly imitate a powerful lion. And after unleashing this deafening shout, the two daughters immediately burst into tears. They were terrified. But as they began crying, they both ran towards their father and hugged him as tight as they could. For the most part, our world tells us not to be childish, to act our age. Even young people in our world today desire to be viewed as older than they truly are. But Jesus tells us in the Gospels to have faith like a child. And these two girls, and Isaac in Genesis, are examples of what childlike faith is. Those two girls ran towards their father for comfort and protection, even though it had been him who had frightened them in the first place. Isaac trusted his father, even though it must have been increasingly obvious and increasingly alarming what Abraham had planned. Now, the story of Abraham and Isaac is actually about two fathers and two sons. Each of the sons trusts his father without hesitation, and each of the fathers loves his son utterly. The first son is, of course, Isaac, and the first father, Abraham. But there is a greater message to this story than a lesson to children to trust and obey their parents, and for parents to love their children through submission to God. At its core, this story is a proof of God's love and faithfulness, because God and Abraham are the second father and son in this story. Now, if any of you are like me, then perhaps you are still stuck on the wording of the first verse in this chapter, where it says, "God tested Abraham." I think the concept of testing can be a difficult one for the church in the modern Western world. We have negative connotations of tests as being unpleasant and unrewarding. And we can't help but wonder what the point of God testing us is. Surely he already knows our hearts, so why test us? And particularly in Genesis 22, asking a man to kill his own son is a rather cruel way to test someone. As with most issues, the solution, of course, is to turn to the Bible. So I'll read to you now a verse from 1 Corinthians. This is chapter 10, verse 13, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." God knew all along how Abraham would act. He knew that his faith was strong enough to stand up to this test, just as he knows how each of us will fare in the tests we face. These tests then are not cruel or unfair, but rather they are a proof. By very nature, you cannot know how a test is going until the end. When you were in school and taking a test, you didn't know if you had the right answers until the teacher gave you your score in the next lesson. But upon seeing you got full marks, you are flooded with relief and the realization that you know that topic very well. The tests God gives us are much the same. When Abraham led Isaac up that hill to be sacrificed, he didn't know what would happen. He trusted God, but that doesn't mean that he felt no fear. Upon passing the test, though, after sacrificing the ram in the place of his son, Abraham realized that God was in control throughout the entire ordeal. By testing Abraham, God had proved his power to him and provided him with an opportunity to grow even stronger in his faith. Now, there are two kinds of tests that we face as Christians. There are good tests and there are bad tests. Good tests are from God and they are an opportunity for us to be closer to him. Whereas bad tests are set by Satan. They are a trap meant to deceive us and lead us further away from God. The bad kind are only ever harmful to us, and we must flee from them in order to be safe from them, even though they will seem very appealing at times. The good kind are only ever for our benefit, even though they will seem far harder and far more unpleasant than the bad kind. So when you go through a difficult time, when you face hardship and tests, do not be dismayed. Because God, your Father, is by your side through it all, and once the test is over, you will realise that it has only made you stronger. Now, it's no accident that this passage bears similarities with another story of a father who sacrificed his son. Like Isaac, the son climbed a hill carrying the wood that would be used for his own death. And like Isaac, the son was sacrificed, only to be brought back from the clutches of death. Of course, I'm talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. In this story, in Genesis 22, God is pointing us forward to the sacrifice of his own son, his own heir, actually on the next hill over from this one, almost 2,000 years later. Unlike the sacrifice of Isaac, the sacrifice of Jesus was completely necessary in order for a way to be made for us to have a relationship with God. The references to that eventual and ultimate sacrifice were of great relevance on Father's Day. God, our Father, promised a sacrifice for the redemption of our lives on that day. And the death and resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years later proves his unwavering faithfulness to us. Genesis 22 then is the ultimate Father's Day passage. It is the story of a faithful son trusting his faithful father. Abraham's faith was tested that day, not because he lacked faith, but because his faith was strong. To many people, the decision to live our lives in service to a God whom we do not fully understand is incomprehensible. They will mock us, and they will criticize us for following a God unquestioningly. Our world hates sheep. You may have heard people criticize you for going along with a crowd, calling you a sheep. If you're active on the internet, you may even have heard the phrase, "Wake up, sheeple." Our world hates sheep, but our God does not. Our God is the good shepherd and he loves his flock. He loves his sheep. When you are being tested, do not give in to doubts and say that God has abandoned you. Remember that the Father's love and faithfulness for his child is even greater than the child's love for their father. And remember also that Abraham was rewarded for his faith. And so shall you be. As was read for us in that passage in Romans 8, We are the children of God because we are led by the Spirit. And as his children, we are loved by him, we are protected by him, and we will receive great things from him as his heirs. It is no easy thing to be tested by God, but our tests are God's proof of his steadfast love for us. And by those tests, we can see that he is a loving and faithful Father who requires only our love and faith in return. When you are tested, you need only trust your Father and remember that he has already provided the lamb for the sacrifice. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son because he trusted God, though God did not actually require it. But God did sacrifice his son and heir, not as a gesture, but because it was necessary to redeem us, his children. So whatever tests and trials and tribulations you may face, remember the unwavering faithfulness of your Father on Father's Day and on all other days. Amen.